Too macho. Oh, Jesus, you love me too much.
Too much. Excess love.
Jesus, you love me too much. That is why I know.
Too much.
Amen. We thank the Lord Jesus Christ for giving us another day and the gift of life. And I want to take this opportunity to thank my presiding elder and all his team in this church for giving me this opportunity to stand before the saints and deliver, allow myself for God to use me for the benefit of the church. Amen. So we will not waste time. We go straight to what God has for us this morning. Before we start everything, we want to bow down our heads and have a short prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. We bless your name, Jesus. You love us so much, Lord. That is why you went to the cross to die for us. Who can do this except you, Jesus Christ? Father, we are here because of you. Bless your children, Father. Any problem before you, we are praying, Lord, that your word said we should preach the gospel and the signs and wonders shall follow. I pray this morning, Lord, that any word that comes from you, let signs and wonders follow in the mighty name of Jesus. Let a sick be healed, oh God. Let anybody who is, Lord, oppressed, my God, release them from any bondage. Comfort every soul and let your power be manifest in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's topic that was given to us is Jesus, the friend of the fallen. Jesus, the friend of the fallen. And our Bible reading is taken from John 21, verse 1 to 19. John 21, verse 1 to 19. We want all of us to read. We want to read together. So please, can you project it for us? So that we read together. It's a long, verse 1 to 19 is long, but we will finish soon. Is it coming? Yeah, John 21, verse 1 to 19. All right, so let's start. Verse 1. After these things, Verse 6. Verse 8. Verse 9. Verse 10. Verse verse 11. Verse 12. Verse 13. Verse 16. Verse 17. Verse 18. Verse 19. God bless you. So, brother, if you can change it to NIV for the sake of, you know, what I'm going to read, so we'll be on the same page. God bless you. So, as I said earlier, this message is entitled Jesus, the Friend of the Fallen. And we all know from verse 1 that Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Father, our Master, everything, who suffered so much for our salvation, and after he resurrected, he went back to the Lord and asked or commissioned the disciples to continue preaching the gospel. And you know Peter of all. When Jesus met Peter, he called him. He was a fisherman. You all know the story. And asked him that, hey, I am going to make you fishers of men. Peter followed Jesus in the 3 years that he spent on earth. You know, Peter, wherever Jesus goes, Peter is always around. Sometimes he jumped to answer questions that Jesus asked the disciples. So Peter was very vocal, and Jesus got to know him that this guy that I'll build my church. But at a point, Peter forgot the power that Jesus gave unto him. So, as we read from verse 1, I take it again so that, you know, I can follow through it. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Why did Jesus come there? Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as what? Didymus. Nathanael from Cana in Galilee. The son of Zebedee. James, John, the apostle. And two other disciples were together. So they were together talking about, nobody knew what they're talking about. Jesus left. What are you going to eat? If our master happened to be around, he'll be performing miracles and preaching the gospel. People will be giving donation for that to have something to eat. Now our master is no longer here. How are we going to survive? And Peter said, verse 3, I am going out to fish. Somebody that have been commissioned that go and preach the gospel. Go and minister to the lost souls. He said, I am going to fish. And none of the disciples around told Peter, we have been asked to do certain assignment. So with this, I don't think it's a good decision. But they all said, Peter told them, and they said, we will go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Let's take this verse and explain, you know, use some basic points to explain. So verse 1, talk about forgiveness that Peter had from Jesus because he deviated from the path. Instead of him to continue the commission that God or the assignment that gave to him, he decided that no way, he is going to fish. But then Jesus appeared there. Jesus appeared there. And his purpose of appearing is to what? Bring Peter back to him. So let's see this decision that Peter made, if it's right decision. So Peter's decision also attracted other disciples like Thomas, Nathaniel, James, John, and other two fellow disciples. The question is, how could Peter make this such a decision? The point is that Jesus appeared to disciples first and second time to bless them with his Holy Spirit. When we read from John 20, verse 19 to 22, after Jesus resurrected, the disciples were gathered, and we all know the story, that they were afraid to go out and people would just torture them or harm them. So they were all together, and Jesus entered there while the door was locked. So the first appearance, and that was when we heard last week, that Thomas wasn't there, and when Thomas came and they told me, Jesus has come, he said, no. Unless I see him, you know, I see the nail, I see the hand, there is what a hole, you know, before I can believe it. So that was the first appearance. And Jesus came to visit them again, the second appearance. And that time, he breathed his spirit on them. He said, go and preach the gospel. So this means that when Peter decided to go and fish, he had disobeyed the commandment that Jesus gave unto them. This morning, Jesus has commissioned everybody sitting here that we should go and preach the gospel. Inasmuch as we are not doing, we are like Peter. We are disobeying the Lord's instruction. But then, if we disobey Lord, in what way? What way can we see that we are disobeying God? Let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Can you portray that one? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. We are disobeying God. In what way are we disobeying God? I said it, but we want to read so that you will understand. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. This is Paul. If I preach the gospel, I can't boast of it. But woe unto me if I fail to preach the gospel. Peter failed to preach the gospel. Peter disobeyed Jesus' instruction and then went to fish. So there was a punishment. Woe unto Peter that he failed to preach the gospel. This is unto us. This is unto us. If indeed we are saved and Jesus' blood has bought us, Jesus' blood has sanctified us, and we know that the burden of saving souls is upon our lives, I don't think we can be idle without preaching the gospel. This is a warning to all of us that if we don't preach the gospel, woe unto us. And woe, you know, that is a small word, but it entails a lot of meanings. When the Bible says woe unto you, meaning you are not part of the kingdom candidate. Woe unto you means that you've deviated from the path of righteousness. Woe unto me that you are a disobedient child. So this morning, you want to study this and understand that if Peter, of all, deviated by not following the instruction given to him by Jesus, and there was a message that woe unto Peter for not preaching the gospel, if we don't do, woe is going to be unto us too. But Jesus is here this morning to restore us unto himself in Jesus' name. So, we should not forget that this same Peter that we are talking about, you know, when I study about Peter, it's like, this guy was so vibrant. But at a point, he wasn't consistent. You know, when Jesus went to the mountain, Peter was there. And he saw Elijah. He saw Moses. He said, Jesus, we are not going to go back. I'm going to build a shelter for you, Moses and Elijah. He was so quick to make decisions. You know, he saw the glory of Jesus. But this same Peter, when Jesus was arrested, he denied him 3 times. Brethren, we have been denying Jesus all the time. We have been denying him all the time. In our marriages, we deny Jesus because we are not faithful. Some of us, as individual as we are, it could be we are not married, but we are not faithful to our religion, our Christian life. We do all kinds of things in secret. We deny Jesus. But the Lord is looking for who will stand for him. The Lord is looking for who or whose name can be written in the book of life. And you can't be on and off, on and off, on and off. Because you don't know when Jesus will come. He said he will come like what? Like a thief. If the time that Peter was going to fish, he knew Jesus would be there early morning, he wouldn't have gone. Things that we are doing in secret. We don't know when death will meet us. We don't know. So, we need to come to our realization that Peter, of all people, with anointing, walk with Jesus, ate with Jesus, talk to Jesus, one day deny Christ 3 times that I don't know him. I don't know him. If you have a good friend or your couple, I mean your husband or your wife, any mistake maybe caused trouble and police has come to arrest you and then they ask, is that your husband? And they say, no. How would you feel? Is that your wife? No. How would you feel? You end the marriage right there. You end it right there. But trust me, Jesus never ended with Peter. He denied him 3 times. I don't know him. And Jesus, the last one, Jesus turned. And his promise came. The Peter, all of you, Peter, of all people, Peter, you deny me. You don't know me. The Bible says he went and wept, cried. So this same Peter, at this time, has denied Christ again. For not what following what Christ, you know, instructed him to do. Let's see something from John 13, 36 to 37. John 13, verse 36 to 37. John 13, verse 36 to 37. To confirm what, you know, Simon did. So Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Because Jesus narrated to them that you'll be going. Peter said, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow me later. Verse 37. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. I remember some of us, the very day that we got converted, that we felt the power of God in our heart. That time we felt like heaven should come. That time, there was kind of joy and love in burning in your heart. The same thing that Peter found himself. You know, he was actually burning for Christ. He said, Christ, I will lay my life for you. We have said that before. The question is, where are we now? Where are we now in Christ? Are we still burning for Christ, as we said before? And if we are not, meaning we are not more Christians, we call ourselves, but spiritually, God does not know us. Jesus has taken us out of the books of life. Peter, I will lay down my life for you, Jesus. This morning, if we have gone away from Christ, we will confess our sins and Christ will forgive us in Jesus' name. Titus chapter 1 verse 16. Titus chapter 1 verse 16. Titus 1 16. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. We claim to know God. We sing about him. But our actions, we are too proud. Discrimination, even among us. Between our wives and husbands, we bully them, we insult. When there is a problem, a wife will go and sit somewhere and insult the husband in her mind. Useless man. You call yourself a child of God. You can't easily forgive. Yes, you say you're a Christian. Men and women, things we do in secret. We heard it this morning. Sacrificial. When you sacrifice your life, no question. No question mark. When it comes to your daily life for Christ. But can God open your life and see something that he can question you? So that means we claim to know God. But our actions. But the Bible says something, that on that day, God will judge everything we use the body to do. You know what some people say? I serve God in my heart. Don't judge me by my action. So, brethren, Peter, at a point, everybody that saw him going to the sea thought he was still a Peter that they knew before. And remember, like I said before, in Luke chapter 9, we are not going to read that portion. Jesus commissioned them to go and preach the gospel. The Bible said they came back and said, Jesus, the blind man, eye open. The cripples start walking. Demons were just flying in the air. But this same Peter, at a point, did something that you can never. Between you and I, we will never forgive him. But Jesus, our master, because of our weakness, that is why he came. So this morning, if you are here, get yourself prepared that even things that have misled you to do something against the will of God, you confess unto him and he will welcome you again and give you the power again to be able to do more for him in Jesus' name. Take me back to Mark chapter 7, verse 20 to 23. Mark 7, 20 to 23. Mark 7, 20 to 23. We are looking at things that we do and that make us not be like real Christians. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. Verse 21. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thought come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder. 22. Adultery, greedy, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evil come from inside and defile a person. So, the way your action is how your heart also is. Sometimes you can't hide. You can't hide. I remember, you know, I spoke to one lady and I asked her, you know what? Remember the time you repented compared to now? Because that time, like, anything you hear was like, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. But now you start questioning, you know, certain gospel that you hear. So, yeah, brother, but that is true. Even my way of life has changed. I want to fit within the community. The way I dress has changed. I want to belong to the community. Because at the point they were really coming, that, hey, why are you dressing like that? That is the dangerous position. If you love Jesus and you love him, you don't care about what people will say. You know, one thing we should know is that this physical that we are seeing, one day we will not see like this. You are so being that you are preparing for Christ, we'll meet him in heaven. And remember, if you are not going to live forever, but then when you die, you live forever, which one would you prepare for? Are you going to waste your time doing things that will anger God? And at the end of the day, he will tell you, I never knew you. Depart from me. No. So these are the things, the evil that we do in secret. And it makes sense to deny Christ. May God help us this morning in Jesus' name. Proverbs 26 verse 11. Brother, speak that right before me. Thank you. God bless you. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. You say you're no longer committing fornication again. But look at what you have in your room. As a Christian, a child of God, you're denying Christ. You're talking about Peter. Peter did not do it well. Peter, no. Peter, the way you were with Christ, you could do this. How about you? You don't want to fornicate again, but you have all kinds of pains in your room. You don't want to lie again, but you know the way sometimes you have holy lies. Brethren, let's stand for Christ. It's the Bible has said that there is what? A wide path and there is a narrow gate. A wide gate, a narrow gate. The narrow one, only few can go in there. And you know, when Bible says narrow, meaning that there are instructions. You need to keep yourself from anything that God hates. You need to. You try yourself, your best to keep yourself, no matter what will cost you. No matter what it will cost you. Because you have to pay the price to be able to get there. But if you want to go to that bigger gate, where everybody can throw their hands here and there and go in, nobody cares about, we drink, we do whatever we want, we go to the club. Oh, Jesus. One student at UConn, and he told me, oh, they are going to the club. But he's waiting for his friend to take a condom. I said, but you're going to the club, condom for what? Oh, for protection. I said, what is going on? He has been the first person to tell me this. I never knew. And this is what the youth are doing. And even the old, some of the old men. Brethren, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Let's try not to deny him. If we have done that before, let's end it today. So that he will see us as true children of God that he has bought through his blood. He has sanctified with his blood that he can boldly stand before God. The Lord, these are the people I'm bringing them to you. May God bless us this morning in Jesus' name. Are there any consequences for disobeying God, for denying God? When we read from verse 3, 4, 5, the last verse of, let's take the last verse of 3 in John 21, verse 1 to 19. We are taking the last verse. And what is the last verse says? He says that, but that night they caught nothing. But that night, they caught what? Nothing. When disobey God, poverty will never leave you. Peter thought he can be outsmarting Jesus. He went. The whole night, they caught nothing. Brethren, if we disobey God, poverty will never leave us. Sickness will not leave us. All the curses that God spoke about in Deuteronomy. We can read that one. Project that one for me. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 15. Up to 68, but we'll read small portion and then continue what God has for us. Take us to Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 15. If we disobey God, the Bible says, however, if you do not obey the Lord, your God, there are consequences. and do not carefully follow all his command and decrees I am giving you today. Right now, Jesus is giving us his decrees that we should repent of our sins and be steadfast, be consistent Christians. We should be consistent Christians. If we don't, we are not going to do them, or if you fail to do them, all these curses will come unto you and overtake you. Verse 16. You will be cursed in city and cursed in country. Verse 17. You are basket and you are kneading through or trough will be cursed. Verse 18. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Verse 19. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. You will fill application upon application, no job. You get a job making money, money doesn't stay in your hands. You will pay tithe, yet money will not stay. And you don't say, why? God, Bible says that if I pay tithe, you will do this. The disobedient, you be disobedient by continuing living in sin. You are hating God, and you are putting Christ on a cross every day. We pray this morning that God will forgive our sins and lift up all these curses if they have come upon us. Amen. Amen. Remember that in all these, Jesus came to restore Peter. Amen. So verse 6 to 14 of John 21, verse 6 to 14, I don't mind to read it again. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Jesus told them. They said they found nothing. He said, you know what? Throw your net to the right side. Why not the left side? It's a revelation. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Amen. Amen. So Jesus called out to them, guiding them to the miraculous catch of fish, reminding them of his power and presence. This act alone is a gentle assertion that despite your failures, despite your disappointment, despite your sins, despite all that you have done against God, against Jesus, he cares for you. The disciples are still under his care. We are still under his care because he cared for us. So brethren, don't give up and don't feel yourself that the level that you have reached in sin, you don't think God will forgive you. No. He will. If only you decide today. I remember last week I was talking to one of the brothers and he was complaining and I was talking to him and at a point I felt that this guy is out of the journey and I told him, bro, what decision are you making now? He said, well, I'll come to your house. I said, no. After we have finished speaking, maybe I can die. So make a decision now. And he said, bro, Robert, this morning one of my friends in the UK, they called him that he's dead. 34 years. There is no time to waste. So, brethren, Jesus, he cares for you and I. If only you surrender unto him that Jesus, I'm here. You are calling. I am here. Save me. Forgive me. And bring me back to yourself. In Matthew 11:28, he says, all those who are heavy, come to me and I will give you what? Rest. Peter was having trouble. And at a point, I was thinking that maybe Peter in-law was asking for money and he didn't get. And that is why he pushed himself into that. And sometimes it's true. You know, if husband and wife, there's so much pressure, you know, the wife or the husband be a good Christian can what? Divert. Because my wife said this. She needs this. I have to do this. I'm just assuming, you know, if it's written in the Bible. So Peter made that attempt because he went to fish for money. That was the reason. He went to fish for money. So brethren, Jesus is here no matter what. This one we heard it. Don't put yourself into any, don't lie. Our brother said it. God will make a way. God will make a way. Be steadfast, you know. Stand on your feet and say, Jesus, I am for you. No else. Nothing else. I am for you. So, don't give up. Christ is here for you. Let's see the final resolution that Jesus gave to Peter. That's verse 15 to 19. Verse 15 to 19. I can read it. We don't have time, but when they have finished, I'm jumping. Let me go back to verse 7 and then bring it out. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off. So this one, it says that Peter did it because he wasn't naked. I've lived close to the lake before. They go to the fish and then, you know, they have something, some shorts, you know, they cover them. But the top is always what? But Peter knew that Jesus would never see him naked like that, like a top. So he covered himself. Brethren, what does it tell us? Would Jesus see you always naked? Half naked? You know, we dress sometimes and it's not actually appropriate. Sometimes it's not. We know it's not appropriate. Peter saw it. He said, no, I can't go to meet my Jesus with half naked. Bible said he covered himself and, you know, threw himself into the water to meet Jesus Christ. This morning, Jesus is calling you. If you can be quick to meet him, he will welcome you and save you in Jesus' name. Verse 8. The other disciples follow in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coal there with fish on it and some bread. So Jesus had already prepared. Trust me, he has already prepared the table for you. Don't delay. Jesus has prepared something for you, waiting for you. So come, leave everything behind. Take the cross and come to Jesus. Where am I now? So verse 10, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat. This Simon, every day, you know, he is always fast. You want to prove to God that, God, I love you. I mean, just a mistake. I messed up. I'm so sorry. To the boat and dragged the net, you know, the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not what? Torn. When Jesus bless you, when he says he's going to bless you, it will be overflowing. It will be overflowing. Believe in him. Trust in him. Follow him with all diligence. He will not let you down. Amen. Amen. So they knew it was the Lord. But no, let me, verse 12. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And then Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them. And did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let's see the restoration from 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon of John, do you love me more than these? This is where we have to, our time is almost, but I need to speed up so that we can get that portion. After Jesus has, you know, fed him, now Peter was okay. Then he said, Peter, do you love me more than this? Sometimes when we are overjoyed, God will step in. You know, because sometimes when we are overjoyed, the joy, you know, sometimes takes us out of the Lord. When we have so much money, when we have so much resources, we think we are there already. So we don't care. When Peter was full, Christ said, do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than the fish that I've given to you, the bread I've given to you? Do you love me more than this? And Peter, all the food he has eaten at that time just vanished from his stomach because, Charlie, this guy is putting me to another corner. Amen. But Peter said, Lord, I love you. You know why Jesus asked Peter three times? Because he denied Jesus three times. When Jesus is restoring you, he covers all your sins. You will not leave any tiny sin behind you. Three times. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Watch my lamb. This morning, if we love Jesus, why are we allowing the lost souls continue dying? I met one lady last week, and whilst we were talking, We started talking about normal life and it got to church matter. And I don't know what I said. She started crying. She cried for about 30 minutes. Why? Because at the age of 18, she was a vibrant child. And the father is a white person and the mother from Dominican or whatever. So she looked like a white lady. She cried and wept and wept. And at the point, she said, "Brother Robert, I don't have anybody that I can confirm to tell my story." Brethren, people are going through a lot. We need to be there for them. And right now, as I speak, she's at Bronze Church. By the grace of God, she promised that she'll go, and I connected her to the pastor. Let's wake up and do something for Christ. I have been saying that when I was 13, 14, all the kind of good food that I ate, I don't remember. They don't stay in me. All the nice dress my father, my mother bought for me, they are not longer. So nothing will last forever. Your position will not last forever. The glory you see around you now, the big house you have, the nice car you have, will not last forever. What will last forever is knowing Jesus. It's allowing this Jesus to bring a fallen man back to himself. He's a friend. He's a good friend. I'm going to bring my message to an end. Jesus is a friend of the fallen. His grace is sufficient. His forgiveness is complete. And his plans for us are not canceled because of our mistakes. He has not canceled the plan that he had for you. Because he said, "I have a good plan for you to prosper you." Don't say it has been long. I know my son asked me this question. "Daddy, but they said the kingdom of God will come, but it's been long." I said, "I will explain to you." I know some of us, we ask that. When is the kingdom of God coming? At a point, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is in you." Amen. If you are burning for Christ, living the holy life, forgiving others that offend you, because Hebrews 12:14, "Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord." Follow peace with all men. All men. No matter. All men. Your mother, your father, whoever has offended you, follow peace with them. Be peace at them. And with that holiness, after that, live a holy life. Without that, no one can see the Lord. So this morning, Jesus has not canceled the plan he has for us. Instead, he meets us in our lowest moment and calls us to a higher purpose. One thing that we have to do is obey. Obey. May the Lord help you and I to be able to stand as real Christians, because Jesus is always close to you, want to bring you back to himself. Just allow yourself. Let all the evils go. Let them go. Places that you go, that you see that you keep falling, stop going there. Because in Bible it said, bad communication corrupt what? Good character. Good moral. Bad communication can corrupt good moral. Good character. May the Lord help you and I in Jesus' name. Amen. When we walk with the Lord in the lights of his, oh, what a glory!